Welcome back to Nerdrotic. My name is Gary Beekler, and I come to you from nerdrotic.com, and it's a sad day. We are talking about what could be the very last episode of Counterpart forever. The time is short. The show, as you know, has been canceled from Starz. They are shopping it around, but I have heard little to no news. I will be sharing an article I found yesterday talking about the saving of Counterpart, but there's literally nobody talking about this. I believe at this point, I looked for other YouTubers to see if they were covering the show. Now, I didn't look really hard. I don't know if anybody else is. If you guys know any other YouTubers who are covering the show, please put it in the chat. But it looked like I was kind of the only one covering season two, episode by episode. So I found a couple of articles, not much, last night while I was on my Patreon watch party, where it was just me watching the episode last night. And I will pull that article up. I will make one final plea to save this show, but I have heard nothing. And I would say, it's 100% canceled, 100%, which means the only hope it has is Jeff Bezos at Amazon, because it's on Starz through Amazon Prime and they know the data. I'm sure they have how many people watch it through Amazon Prime, which I bet you is the vast majority of viewers. And if that's not good enough, I don't know. I would look at this as a loss leader, as something that could get you critical acclaim, that would bring people to your channel while not having the most views. I would say that it sucks, because in current year, day and age, I think J.K. Simmons has been ignored for a couple reasons, for his age and possibly for his skin color. We'll say, I know that sounds weird, but how does he get ignored for an Emmy nomination? He played, the same thing happened to Orphan Black as well. And I hear you guys talking, and yeah, she should have gotten an Emmy nomination much earlier than she did. Sometimes it takes a series a little while, but this thing should have been showered with Emmys. And the reason it was completely ignored, I don't know. You'll have to look into that, because it's dumbfounding. It's ridiculous how this didn't get showered with Emmys. J.K. Simmons put one of the best performances I've ever seen on television. It was theatrical, his performance. It was that good. It was a performance that would have gotten, when they mattered, an Academy Award nomination. And it got completely ignored. And this thing might just go into obscurity, and it might turn into a show that very few of us will talk about in a decade going, remember that show Counterpart? Man, that was good. Nobody watched it. Man, sucks. But so much crap is on TV. And that's the bummer about this. There's a couple things. So if James Hancock is talking about it, and this is not bragging at all. So I'm the biggest YouTuber talking about it, which sucks. So I'm putting out a plea to bigger YouTubers to maybe, I don't know, sacrifice a little analytics to do a video to try to save this show. One of the more quote unquote respectable YouTubers. Listen, the show isn't going to like any of my tweets. The writer's room aren't going to like any of my tweets for obvious reasons. I'm very critical of Doctor Who. I'm very critical of Star Trek. They might have friends who work on those shows. They have to go work other places. So if they are seen liking something that I even like, that either I'm totally obscure to them or I might be poison. So, and that's part of the problem. And that's why we didn't get talked about very much with The Expanse either. And I understand that. And I am totally cool with that, because I would not sacrifice looking like I'm a shill for anything. So I'm going to continue to speak the truth here. And yeah, it keeps, I'm not good. I'm not looking to get actor interviews or likes from writers' rooms on Twitter. I could give two shits about that. I care more about talking to you and bringing you guys good entertainment and steering you away from bad, saving you time and money. We are fan advocates here. I am a fan. I am simply a fan. I am simply one of you. That's it. Just a guy with a microphone and an internet connection. But this was seriously one of the best shows on television. Would not lie. Most, if not all, the people, myself and Doomcock and others, have turned on to this show, and James Hancock, have come back thanking us, going, man, that was good. I mean, I got one just last night, you know, and maybe, you know, I could have done more. Maybe I could have done more. I don't know. But I put out a video about a month ago saying, hey, that, you know, one of the actors hinted heavily that this show is getting canceled. And it's honestly, it's my most viewed counterpart video, but it's still not much. So what a bummer. And, you know, last night's episode was bittersweet. I thought it had a pretty good ending, but it's a cliffhanger. It's a effing cliffhanger. And I was like, God damn it. And it was rushed. I mean, there's no doubt it was rushed, but it being rushed is still so much better than anything written on television. These, this group of writers that, you know, it was, what is it? Anonymous Content is I think they're behind the show, and Justin Marks, the group of writers that was put together is all-star. So, I mean, hopefully this group can stay together and go do something else. Cause I'd watch it in a second, but this was all about J.K. Simmons, man. And I'll do a little breakdown of the show, but I needed to get that out, man. I'm pissed. I'm a little pissed. I'm pissed at Stars. I'm done with Stars, man. So like I'll stick with American Gods because I like the show, but once that's over with, and I fully believe 100% that American Gods will be the next show on Stars to get canceled. And when that happens, I'm not covering a single thing on that network ever again. I'm not, I'm canceling the app. Done. Bye-bye. We have, I don't trust anything you put on the air. Ash versus Evil Dead, Counterpart, I was about to cuss there. The stuff that happened behind the scenes with American Gods that led to Brian Fuller leaving and Gillian Anderson leaving. I mean, you know, which practically guts your show right there, because Brian Fuller was the heart and soul of that show. And yeah, you know, so we will see. As far as the episode is concerned, before I get to you in the chat, real quick, it had one bright shining moment. Like, if you guys, you know, I'm mostly when I'm watching it, the watch party is pretty boring. It's me just watching and taking notes. But there was one part where I'm like, damn, that was awesome. We'll get to that. So it starts out with Howard Prime and Baldwin have Claire and Spencer held hostage, and they need to cut a deal. They call Peter Quayle. Quayle tells Howard that, you know, I don't even work for the place anymore. I don't know what you want me to do, Claire. I turned Claire. And he's all, and Nia Temple was with them. By the way, Nia Temple is a character that finally came into her own in episode 10. I finally like, okay, I get this character. She felt like she didn't really fit. By the end, she did. So great job, by the way. And we have Langley Neely, who is a friend of ours who comes in the chat once in a while. That's his ex-girlfriend. So good job, buddy. Okay, so they're held hostage. We have I don't know what to call them, the final five or whatever, you know, from the Indigo Project. They're out in a boot going to spread the pathogen. We have both Emily's, we have Howard Prime coming home. We have both Emily's trying to thwart what's going on. We got one on one side trying to find Mira. We have Ian Shaw, you know, just punking out every chance he gets. Poor Ian or Wesley, whatever his name is. Then of course we have our Howard, who is just a sad sack. And you know, that's the biggest disappointment about this, is because his character arc really didn't feel like an arc. Unless his arc was to be, I am going to remain the same from the beginning of season one to now. And this was, I think they were setting him on his journey to have his arc at the, you know, for season three and stuff. And they didn't get the chance to do that. And that's very disappointing. So basically what happens is Claire is given 30 minutes to get the information out of Spencer before they both die. And Howard had cut a deal with Nia for his freedom and Baldwin's freedom on this side. If they get the information out of Spencer, Claire is able to do that because she is the queen of manipulation. But she was genuine in this moment. She was in the room with Spencer, and at the one time she gets genuine, it freaking works, man. And she tries to plead with him like, hey, you know, we got sold out. We got sold out. We're fanatics. We're the fanatics. And this side isn't as evil as we thought. And a lot of people are going to die. Spencer only gives her the information when she relates it to her. She's like, what do you think happens to me if I don't get the information? And that's when Spencer decides to tell them about a cabin that Mira has on this side that Emily might know about. Not Emily Prime, the other Emily. Her memory has come back. Howard has come home. He's interrogated a little bit. Of course, the episode begins with Mira impersonating management, telling everybody that, hey, crossing is closed. This is it. These are your walking papers. Thank you for your service. We're going to shut down the door forever. That's it. Speech is made. We get some goodbyes. They let the prisoners go, which I had actually forgotten about. They were still there the whole time. That must sucked. Where'd they go to the bathroom? And yeah, so they're going to close the crossing. They have a day to get everybody back, and that's it. And Mira is going to shut the door and release the pathogen, and the clock is ticking. Naya knows what's going on. Claire, Peter Quayle, Baldwin, and of course, Howard Prime. Howard gets home, and there's a scene between him and Emily about, like, can they fix the relationship? And, you know, Howard's like, I'm not really sure. I don't think so. But then Howard Prime shows up, and he's got the location of this cabin, and all of a sudden they need to go over there and possibly stop what's going on if there's anybody there. They got the information that they started out this cabin, and then they're going to go to a train station and all spread out all over the world and release the pathogen. So everybody, Naya Temple, Peter Quayle, Howard Prime, and God, they left. Baldwin wasn't even in season two that much, which kind of sucks, but I think they were setting her up for season three. And Emily end up going to this cabin, and we see the one girl who was left behind, and she was supposed to blow up the cabin and the location and kill herself. And there's a great scene where Emily goes and talks to her, and like she's surrounded by guns, and gets her to calm down and has this really sincere conversation. And the girl talks about how she never wanted this and never kissed a boy and da-da-da-da, and got Emily to relax. Emily took the gun away from her. Emily had stepped over a trip cord to get to her that would release all the bombs. Everything looks good. She's relaxed. She walks her back. She says, you know, you don't have to have that life. And once they get to the trip cord, the girl looks up and, oh, man, typical, you know, a scorpion and the frog story, and just stepped on the cord and boom, blew everything up. Now, while she's giving this speech before everything blows up, Howard sees Emily working, doing her best in this job. And, you know, where before he's like, I don't think we connect. You can see him smile. And he's like, damn. That's my girl right there. That's my woman. And of course she gets blown up. She's severely injured. They get her back to the hospital. She writes an address down on the paper and then dies. So Emily dies, and it's very sad. And Howard is pissed. So a quick scene later, he meets up with Howard Prime, gets Howard Prime to go on his knees, and he puts a gun to his head, and he's going to kill him. And, you know, Howard's like, just admit you were wrong. And Howard Prime is genuine. You know, I fucked up. He gives back his wedding ring and his watch. And he's all, if I were you, I would do it. Just go ahead and do it. And he closes his eyes, and Howard looks like he's going to shoot him, and he doesn't. And he hands him the gun and says, you do not have a lot of time. So, he gets the address to the train station. Howard Prime goes there. He sees the final five. And one of the, I mean, this is such a badass scene. It's quick, but it's just how good this show was. Cause there'd be a lot of quiet spy stuff. And then Howard Prime could just take out seven people in a matter of minutes. And how is this the same person who's the meek Howard? They were the same person and they split up, and yeah, he takes out the rest of Indigo, boom, lickety split. When his gun runs out, a cop comes in, gets shot by one of the Indigo guys. And while one of the Indigo guys goes to shoot the cop, Howard has a chance to take, you know, grab his gun, take it away from him, shoot him, and shoot the remaining Indigos. And Indigos and plops the gun in the trash can and boom, it's just in like that. You're like, God damn, that was freaking badass. And you see the difference between Sad Sack Howard. They truly look like two different people playing it. That's how well it's done. And one of the things missing from season two was J.K. Simmons playing off of J.K. Simmons. Those were truly the best parts of the show. So, they thwarted it, or so they thought. Everything's sealed. Everybody's gone. Peter Quayle interrogates Spencer. Spencer rats out Claire, telling him that she killed her other. Peter Quayle goes home, and just the weirdest thing about the relationship is he freaking knows, and Claire offers to confess, and Peter goes, "Can we just not talk about it tonight?" And then they start joking about changing the baby's name, and I'm like, "This is seriously the sickest, most interesting relationship I've ever seen on television." It was great. That was their final scene together. It's a bummer. So in the end, we see Emily Prime, and Mira is coming home, and she does. And by the way, from now on, when I hit a light switch, I'm going to be very careful. I'm just going to say, after watching the show, I'm going to be very careful just flipping on the light switch, maybe grab it by the side and pull it up, or maybe get a clapper or something. Because Mira turns on the lights and she gets stuck like Emily did in season one, except with this time with a lethal dose. And Mira not so slowly dies while Emily's trying to get some more information and find out what's going on. And then Mira is very cryptic. You know, they talked about her other, and she's like, my other was perfect, but she will die in her own time. And then boom, she's dead. And that was a very cryptic thing to say. Interesting. Emily breathes a sigh of relief, got to Ian Shaw, and it was Ian who handed her Emily, by the way. She went to his apartment to find out where he was. He leaves her a little Dear John note and a GPS. Another interesting thing was in the final exchange between the two diplomats. The Prime side has like all these crazy, you know, their medical advancement is amazing because of the pathogen, but our side had the technical. So they wanted a 1 terabyte hard drive. They wanted a design for the 1 terabyte hard drive. And we wanted like some kidney transplant thing. That was amazing. I like that. That's the kind of shit we're going to be missing from the show. That was so great. So how it ends? Well, Yannick is playing with his grandkid, and all of a sudden Yannick gets sick, and then Yannick dies right there on the spot. And he's got little patches like the plague, and he's surrounded by kids, and that's on our side. And that's where it freaking ends. It's like, God damn it. Are you fucking kidding me? Shit. So that's where it ends. It actually works as an ending kind of, but we're never going to know. Howard on our side decided he was offered a job by Nia Temple to go back. They're going to restart the crossing, by the way. Now that they found out it was Mira, they're going to restart diplomacy. They're going to reopen everything. And Peter Quayle, through Claire, has his job back, and she's going to be working for him. So I kind of predicted that the new management would be Nia Temple and Claire. Now, I don't know who it will be on the other side. I guess it would be Emily. And we would get a new management out of this. And probably through this, we would find out more about the experiment, like who was actually behind it. There was still tons of stuff you could have done. And there could have been a time jump, because now the pathogen has been released on the other side, and that starts a full-on war. Howard Prime and Baldwin end up making a new deal, and they go to the other side after the door is sealed. So they, you know, Baldwin lives happily ever after, and they're safe. They're safe. So, that's how it freaking ended. And, I don't think we're getting a season three. I'm sorry. If the very handsome, talented, and just smart and intelligent, and I'm sure he smells good, Jeff Bezos decides to pick up the show, I think it would do very well. I think it would give more attention for awards. And again, it'd be a loss leader. It would be something you can kind of, it's like a trophy you could put on your mantle. You know, it's meaningless. It brings you nothing but a little bit of pride. And it just legitimizes what's already a pretty legit streaming network, but it classes up the place. It's something I'm kind of not, but classy. It's very classy, elegant, well-told show that can be badass. And that's what I really love about it. It is so many things, but there are times where it could just go boom. You know what I mean? That coward scene in the station was just freaking balls, man. I loved it. So well done, Justin Marks. I'm sorry. I should acknowledge some of the writers' names here, and I'll get to you in the chat here. And I am done babbling about this. I'm going to get to the counterpart, IMDb, and then you guys, and we are going to give these writers their due, which they did not get. And yeah, there's nobody fucking talking about this. God damn, that sucks. IMDb. Boop, 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 boop. Here we go. And the Rotten Tomatoes on this is high. The ratings on IMDb, everything is high except for the actual ratings. So the writers, Megan, I don't doubt you'd be watching this, but and she's a creator, co-created by, and Justin Marks, we've said before, but Megan Huang, is that how do you say it? Huang, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. Hey, I got a last name that's hard to pronounce too. So my apologies, Megan, but I applaud you, Megan. Some of the best writing I've ever seen on television. This show brought me mostly joy. So thanks for, I feel bad that I recommended it to so many people. Oh shit. Sorry. I guess we got a Good Omens release date. May 31st, by the way, Prime, May 31st, Good Omens, covering every episode. Nice. J.K. Simmons, Olivia Williams, Harry Lloyd, you guys were masterful in this. The entire cast was like top notch. Megan, well done, really well done. Being a female writer right now is probably a good thing. There's a high demand. I would recommend her for any show. Doctor Who, Star Trek Discovery could probably use a Megan Huang big time because she is very talented. So yeah, I will be following her and what she does. Justin Marks, I wasn't familiar with Justin Marks' past work, but totally legit now because of this show. So of course we had J.K. Simmons, we had Olivia Williams, Harry Lloyd, kind of my favorite. Peter Quayle was kind of my favorite character. I think he had the best arc overall, an amazing arc. Nicholas Pinnock as Ian Shaw did a great job. Sarah Ascio has Baldwin. She was great. Betty Gabriel is Nia Temple, really came in her own at the end. Good job. Richard Schiff, who I love. Okay. He was great in, Dirk Gently. Damn it, man. I'm getting old. James Cromwell, of course, Zephyrin Cochran himself. And, also from LA Confidential. What's your benediction? Christian Paul as Mira. Wow. Did she look different when she was like the housewife? Ken Dukin as Spencer. I would have liked to have seen more of him, but who's this one? Oh, that was Iriano was one of the diplomats. Okay, there we go. Why are we missing? Where's Claire? There we go. There's Claire. Nazine, oh God. Bonyadi? Nazanin Bonyadi. God, I suck. I'm just going to say Claire. She was great. She was great. Yeah. Total bummer, man. So let's get to the chat. Oh boy. By the way, this video live stream will only be on the channel today, unfortunately. So if you're watching it, you want to catch more of it later, it will be on nerdrotic.com. Okay. Let's get to the chat. I'm just glad Nerdrotic got me into Counterpart last month. I love it. And I am all cut up now. It's canceled. Typical. Peter Nazif, I am so sorry. Yeah, that's on Stars, mate. That's on Stars. I doubt the writer's room's happy about this. I'm going to miss it so much, so much wasted potential. That's it. Honestly, if it even got one more season, I'd be cool with three. My main question is, hopefully nobody forgot about that Peter watching. Yeah. Okay. What happened to the other Peter? Is he just alone in the Echo prison watching rugby tapes over and over again with all those dead bodies, right? Brian Fisher. Yeah. Young Justice got canceled and came back 6 years later, but yeah, that's a DC property and it came back on its like own thing. Believe me, if DC Universe did not exist, Young Justice wouldn't have come back. But now they're talking about bringing back all kinds of stuff. Halam 899, like, well, they are bringing back Justice League. There's going to be a movie. I thought they were bringing back the original Teen Titans and then they kiboshed it, but maybe they still are. I don't know. Hit that like button. Yes. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. So in related to Saving the Expanse, I was part of the Save the Expanse movement, although you wouldn't know that because I'm not mentioned anywhere. But it was my first video that hit 60,000 views. And this is when I had like 3,000 subscribers, maybe 2,000 subscribers at the time. I'm pretty damn sure I've checked. So I'm pretty damn sure I'm the first to announce it on YouTube. So it was announced late on a Thursday or Friday night. I was doing a live stream on somebody else's channel, on Comics Division's channel. I got a tweet saying, Expanse has been canceled. I'm like, what the? And I verified it and then went live within 5 minutes. So it was like 10, 11 o'clock at night here on the West Coast. And that was before planes were flown everywhere and everything. And again, you know, my videos back then were like, if we got 1,000 views, we were happy. And we got 60,000 views on that. So the word started going out. Now, like I said before, I criticize other shows, so they're not going to really want to touch me with the 10-foot pole, and that's fine. I'll still back your show because I don't need approval from creatives. Again, I am here for the fans. That is my priority. That's all I care about. But they could really take a lesson from Save the Expanse. The problem is I don't think there was a big enough audience and we aren't connected enough. The Expanse was a big audience and it shouldn't have been canceled, period. Like, this one was still finding its audience. Gary, do you know when you'll do another afternoon chat? I have to catch one. I can't catch the late one, sadly. Venom Broly, I am doing a afternoon chat tomorrow. The Nerdrotic Nooner will be at 11 or 12. I believe it's 12 tomorrow. I'm backed up on a couple videos that I got to finish. I've got an Orville video coming out and a Doctor Who video coming out in the next 24, 48 hours. I was disappointed, needed more science. Christian CO9. Yes. While I'm being friendly to this episode, I have criticisms and I will speak them right after I read your chat. Like, why and how were there two worlds connected in a basement? They melted the computer. Episode did not satisfy me. It's because they were rushed at the end. I mean, it's clear they were told, like, this might be it. So make sure you have some closure at the end. That's my guess. What would be great is to hear communication from the creators. I mean, if they really care, I mean, maybe they're on to their next jobs and they're like, hey, this is what happens in Hollywood. We get back up again. We go back to work. That this is just part of the game. So yeah, maybe if we hear more communication, like this is where we're shopping it and this is what you can do to save it, that'd be nice to hear. So criticisms, rushed ending. not enough J.K. Simmons. He felt like it felt like Emily became a main character in this and not J.K. Simmons. A little too much of Nia Temple praying. I don't think that was super necessary. I thought once was fine. Okay, we got it. But then the whole voiceover, and then they didn't translate the voiceover, which I thought was weird. She was praying in Arabic. And usually if somebody, there's praying shit in all kinds of film and TV. And, you know, this is no bash on anybody's religion or anything like that. I'm not a religious person, but I completely respect anybody who is. It's fine. She's doing a prayer, and it's supposed to be like this meaningful voiceover as everybody's going back into the crossing. And I can't understand what she's saying. So translate it, and maybe it means something. Otherwise, it just kind of looks like somebody's praying to, you know what I mean? You know what it looks like. So I don't think that was totally necessary, but it didn't bring down the show. What hurts is, well, they didn't talk about Peter Quayle from the other side. He's in Echo watching those tapes. What's going on there? The experiment. I agree, Christian, 100%. I need to know way more. Now, I feel like they were saving it. Who funded all this stuff? I had a huge problem with the episode last week that management was so dumb. How did they get this giant organization with all these badass spies when they're dumb? That is completely unbelievable. Every major organization, especially it's a company, it reflects their founder 100%. I worked at Tesla. That is Elon Musk to the bathrooms. Okay. That place is him. It's an extension of his body. So like you have management, it would reflect management's personality. We should have been shown how management are not just great scientists. They're, you know, really good in life. One of them's a badass, you know. It told us that, but it didn't show us that. Sorry, the Nerdrotic dogs are going nuts in the background because Mrs. Nerdrotic and Nerdrotic Jr. is home, and I got to get some super chats here. So I will do that right now, and then I'll get back to criticisms. And you know what? What's really important is I need to feel free to do that. And I will check myself. I will freely admit I am friends with Derek Robertson. He is the co-creator of Happy and the Boys. It's going to be very hard for me to be unbiased with those shows, to be honest with you. Now, luckily with Happy, it's really good. But for me to like come out and criticize the Boys, I don't know if I can do that. And I'll be honest with you because like, one of my best friends is involved in it. See, that compromises me 100%. Not that like it really matters. Okay. But that's why I tell you, I'm not going to say anything bad about my boy, Derek. I love that guy. Tamrocks, $20. Thank you for the super chat. I feel like Meek Howard should have ended up with Emily Prime and Anna. I guess that is how my headcanon will be. That's what they were setting up. My guess is we were going to get a little bit of a time jump. The plague kills a lot of people, but not everybody. It winds up the war again. It starts up the war again. Howard Prime on his life journey realizes that he loves Emily Prime and tries his ass off to get to the other side. And maybe he starts turning into Howard Prime in the process, while he would have been a much better father to Anna and Emily Prime. So, yes, that's where I feel like they were going. And yes, hashtag headcanon. It's a good thing. Tamrocks, thank you for the $20. You're always generous. You're always brilliant, fellow Legionnaire. And of course, I want to plug, we just hit 40,000 subscribers. Thank you very much. And later tonight, after I get back from Battle Angel with Mrs. Neurotic, I will be doing a live stream with Doomcock, a celebration of the Expanse. That's all we're going to do is just talk about the Expanse. I don't have a lot planned. Let's just come with your favorite Expanse stuff. And we'll just talk about how much we love that show for 2 hours. It's going to be a very positive live stream. Jack Random, $5. Colony on USA had the same thing happen to it. Also, a great show that ended too soon. Reminded me of Classic V. Yep. Mrs. Neurotic, love Colony. Another great idea dropped for the mundane. And listen, great ideas can be brought back later. Battlestar Galactica was canceled because it cost too much. It got ratings. It got great ratings, but it cost too damn much. Battlestar Galactica, when it originally came out, while not well executed by Glenn A. Larson, one of the best concepts on TV, period. So much so that it became, in its reboot, a classic all-timer series. So this is a great concept that can be picked up later, but I don't know if it can exist outside of J.K. Simmons. And I love seeing J.K. Simmons in genre. I want more of J.K. Simmons in genre. I know people have a propensity to cast him in like just dramas and stuff, and I don't do dramas here. I mean, if I want drama, I'll just, you know, remember something from my life. That's why I love genre, true escapism. I want J.K. Simmons in it, and please bring him back as J. Jonah Jameson. Smiley face for the nerdo says Static MM $10. Thank you so much. You guys bring me a smiley face every day. I know that sounds cheesy, but it's true. Thank you for the $10. Thank you for the $5, Jack. And Tamrox, thank you for the $20. Let's get back to the chat. Okay. Criticisms. Howard Meek. Major criticism. We didn't get an arc with him at all. It feels like his arc was planned out over years, and this is what happens with Stars. Most criticism goes to Stars. I know they're the network, and they put up the money, and they got to do business, but... it's becoming a thing, Stars. So this is two brilliant shows you've canceled, and guess what you're going to be known for? Canceling great shows. Ash versus Evil Dead and Counterpart should still be going. And the reason they're not is because they were on Stars. If they were somewhere else, they'd still be going right now. Ash versus Evil Dead feels like it would be much better on Netflix. Counterpart is made for Amazon Prime. Shit, Amazon Prime. Duh. It's made for it. But listen, poor Jeff Bezos probably gets asked every 2 seconds to save something when you're one of the richest men ever in the galaxy. That's kind of your thing. I'm sure very few people feel sorry for him, but I do have an ounce of sympathy for how many requests he probably gets on a minute by minute basis. And he must just want to, I bet he's one of those kind of people who goes into a self, goes into the tank, right? And so the isolation tank just to get a goddamn minutes a piece. So plus I hear he's going through a divorce right now. And again, my sympathies, I've been through that. Not fun. No Cato, no party. Cato's his hours have changed. He's had to change his hours. That's why he's not here. Everybody send Go Game pieces to Jeff Bezos. Yeah, that's a great idea. See, I was thinking like, what can we do? I was thinking like a flash mob of a bunch of people in like pea coats and skull, you know. I don't know what the hell, stocking cats or whatever the hell they're called, skull caps and sunglasses. But I like the Go Game pieces. I like that. I'm sure he'll really appreciate that. I was okay with them changing baby Spencer's name. Griselda is a much better name than Spencer, named after a brainwashed asshole. Named after a brainwashed asshole. I like Griselda as well. For one, you could call her Grizz for short. Or Zelda. I would go Gris, though. I like that. I agree with that, Viking bitch. Counterpart is all about suitcases, kind of like the Umbrella Academy. I keyed. Or that Umbrella guy. Shout out to that Umbrella guy. Good YouTuber. I want more Howard... Viking bitch, yes. I want more of the Howard Prime Baldwin team up. I want five more effing seasons. Yes. Well, all we got was 5 minutes of their team up. And there was so much potential to can you even portray this nowadays, you know, with all the anti this and anti that? Can you show maybe a young woman being mentored by an older man? Is that even okay anymore? Because she had a crappy father, because bad father trope, and he was a crappy father, and maybe both of them could find a little love and redemption through each other, not a sexual relationship, but like a mentor relationship. Maybe he fills a hole that she's never had. She wants to have this normal life. And, you know, he completely failed with his own daughter. And maybe him helping Baldwin could help him on his. I love a good redemption tale. So I'm just trying to map this out in my head canon. That would work for me. But they also go on like lots of shooty killy adventures beforehand, and that's how they that's how they connect. Because they are killers and they kill people and eat breakfast. Trinoculus P, thank you for the $5. Got a question? Throw in a question. Just Me says, I've never seen this show. It's okay. A lot of people haven't. Baldwin is more believable at it than others. She had training, intent, and experience. Come on, Stars. Oh, I love your name there. Yes. Come on, Stars, formerly Peter Quayle, formerly Apple Crow. Yes. I completely bought the way they presented her as an assassin, a very believable one. She is the one, it's like, it's famous in grifting. You convince the whole room that you're the dumbest person in there. And that gets everybody to relax and share information with you and stuff. And you can just rip people off blind. It's pretty much rule one of grifting. Rule one of assassin, don't ever get noticed. So she is, you know, amongst all these, you know, men, she's like the last person they're going to suspect. And then they didn't show her like punching a 300 pound dude out. No, they showed her sneaking up on people, cutting people's Achilles heels, shooting them in the freaking knees, like being like a little ghost. That was perfect. Perfect. Well done. Oh yeah. And this is like a show that actually showed boobs once in a while. I know I'm trying to find sell points. Okay. They don't really show that stuff anymore. It's like sex is, it's weird. The times we're in some very bizarre times. Who thought the new Puritanism would come from the side it's coming from? It's really bizarre. Feels like we're in the prime side. We're not in the upside down. We're in the sideways. I almost used Yannick Patient Zero as my cosmetic name today, but come on, Stars. FF, renew this show. They're not going to renew it. It is done. Amazon, if you pick it up, I promise. I mean, like, hey, this is a major commitment because I hate Whole Foods, but I will buy all my groceries from Whole Foods. All right. Now, I won't like look like Spock from Star Trek Discovery and, you know, get my burritos there and start eating kale and listening to, I don't even know. You guys going to have to come up with like a Whole Foods type of band. What's the kind of band? Yeah. I don't even some hipster rock that I don't listen to. Like fun, something like that. But, Squids McCracken, brother to Phil McCracken, only just started counterpart. This bums me out. Yeah. Go ahead and finish though. I mean, it's got an ending. It does. I have no idea what you're saying there, Venom. The beam are flat, only one color. I'm missing something there. Can we do a letter writing campaign to Stars? Maybe, Jeff D. I merely do videos. I don't have time to like fly planes over Amazon nor the funds to do that. But I like the Go thing. If you guys can get together on Twitter and get something going, I would make videos. I would back it 100%. Hey, it worked for The Expanse. Now, what really put The Expanse over was flying the plane over and then the media picking it up. And then that guy did the Expanse is Everywhere video, which is just beautiful. Right. But what got it started was people on Twitter and Doomcock. Doomcock and myself played our part. And there's a nice video out that kind of goes over the whole Save the Expanse thing. A couple people left out though. Just saying. I'm not hurt though. Not that much. I'm a human. Come on. I'm watching the Umbrella Academy and asking, why is every shot dark? I want to see things. Rebecca Gold, thank you so much. Counterpart's not shot dark. I can see things in Counterpart. You want to know why? Because I screen grab thumbnails from actual shows. And if I didn't pump up the color, or the brightness on Titans was the worst. I couldn't, if you noticed my Titans thumbnail sucks, it's because you can't see anything. Star Trek Discovery is the same. Counterpart's perfectly clear and beautiful. The Orville, yeah, what, can we start? I don't care if it looks cheesy. Crank up the brightness a little bit, people. We can't see anything. I got a couple more minutes here. It's just me. It is a lot like Fringe, except way, way more intelligent and the acting is better. Fringe is good for a J.J. Abrams joint. I would say that would be my favorite thing. And I would say that's the only thing he's ever been a part of that had a semi-decent ending. So no shade on Fringe. I would be covering it if it was still on. I love this concept. I love the whole Amber concept in Fringe was great. I love that. I thought it was fun. Men in Black. It's, man, you're speaking my language. I'm going to miss this show, says A. Carter. Me too, man. It's like, I felt it. I actually did. Like, a show gets canceled, I'm like, meh, whatever. But as I was making the thumbnail and I was thinking, man, this is like, and I wrote goodbye and I'm like, this is my last Counterpart thumbnail. I'm seriously sad right now. You know, I mean, I'll get over it. You know, I'm going to go watch Battle Angel and I'm going to talk about The Expanse. But one of the problems is because it's behind paywalls, and yeah, walls is key. Thundercats Ho. Prime then Stars as an additional subscription. It needed to be accessed on a bigger audience internationally more increasingly. Yeah, I'll say it right here. Stars, your network is dead. It's dead. You should probably think about selling it to Amazon or somebody. I think it's just flat out dead. So if you own anything, and dead, I mean, like within 5 years, there will be no more Stars on cable. They have to charge a fee to cable, and this whole model is done. Jack Random, $2. Did Counterpart wrap up at least? Worth watching? Yes, it wrapped up. I will warn you, though, it wraps up and leaves things open. So, yeah. But I'm just going to come out and say it. There's a cliffhanger ending, but there is a lot of closure. Is there enough? No. But it's a good enough ending for me. I mean, I was saying it last night. If this is a horrible cliffhanger, I won't even cover the show. So the fact that I'm here, it was good enough. Now, I'm being nice because I want this show to get picked up. But I have criticisms about season two. Season one was flawlessly perfect. I know I just said perfect twice, but whatever. Silhouetted Animator. Yes, I will be covering Doom Patrol. Yes, I will probably like it. It would have to really suck for me to hate it. I'm going to cover it. If you look at the nerdrotic.com schedule, I will be covering on the Nerdrotic Nooner along with Umbrella Academy and along with Battle Angel. I will be doing three reviews in that live stream. Yes, all of us. Jeff smells good. I smell like Irish Spring. I usually smell of Doctor Who disappointment. And that's me. And STD resentment. Oh, freaking bless your heart. God, I'm really behind in the chat. Holy Jesus Christ, I'm behind in the chat. Hi, Heather Graham and Chris Persia. What's up? Oh. There are some new you notice there's some new moderators. Tarka, you're a moderator. I don't want anybody to have hurt feelings. I choose moderators based on like how often they're in chats and if they're here. Last Friday we got nailed by trolls and I had two people. Now, I understand that because it's a night podcast. And listen, whatever wrenches I have, that's cool. But that's the reason I kind of last minute made a bunch of new wrenches. And those were the people who were there. But there's one I need to add. Chris Persia, you are a moderator. And it's no fault. I mean, listen, Mary Ashmead is the best moderator on YouTube. And she handled it. And Jody was there. And they were just boo, 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 boo. And it's funny that I do a Captain Marvel video, like, because I've been criticizing Star Trek Discovery and Doctor Who forever. But I do one Captain Marvel video and all kinds of weirdness starts happening to the channel. And I wasn't the only channel. I was talking to other channels. Bulls Trek was having some trouble as well. So possibly some videos coming out of that. Back to the positive, though. No trolls here. Hold on. Can I make you one from here? Boom. Okay. $20 from Tamarox, our new moderator. I feel like season two of Counterpart suffered from Westworld season two. It did a little bit. It did. Some time's up was going on there. That's without a doubt. The thing is, I want to give credit where credit is due. The Naya Temple thing was overdone with the praying. It was way overdone because they wouldn't show Christian praying like that, or Buddhists don't pray, or any other religion. And the only thing I ever ask is true equality. Like, if you're going to bash something, bash everything equal. If you're going to praise and bring something in, do everything equal. It's very easy for Hollywood to criticize Christianity, and I'm not a Christian. It's very easy to make them the bad guys and stuff, which is fine if you do it with everybody else. That's all. Spread the love and the hate. Okay, that's all. Almost all the guys are evil. Women who have magic plot powers. Cough, Mira. Cough. Yes, Tamarox. And I mentioned that in a previous episode. We had a bit of a Mary Sue villain. And J.K. Simmons was left kind of in the background a little bit. Listen, I have sympathy for the creators in Hollywood right now. People are trying to, it's a very complex issue. All right. Because Hollywood, has been pretty crappy to women. Not saying that it hasn't happened. Still are to this day. I work down there. I know what goes on. Hell yeah. But, I just largely think that everybody was kind of crappy down there. That's why I left. It's the culture. It's the culture. It's not just one-sided. It is like dog eat, dog eat, dog eat, dog eat, banshee, eat werewolf, eat giraffe. I mean, like, it is a backstabby place, we'll just say. And they're trying to make up for it on screen, and it's not genuine. That's the thing, is there's a way you could present this. I'll say before I say it again, this was actually a shining example in season one of a show that was pretty diverse, had powerful women, very flawed. I mean, admittedly, through Mira, there was bad, but we still had Emily was a flawed character. But then in season two, like Emily in season one had been Emily on this side, Emily Prime had been to rehab, neglected her daughter, like had tons of flaws. And in season two was put in charge. I was like, what? And then they brought in Naya Temple, who was an angel. She was a strong black female, obviously, who was Muslim and a boss. She had zero flaws, like none. She was superwoman. When you got to her home, she had a special needs kid, great husband, who was stay at home, I believe, and very understanding, and went into this long speech about having a special needs kid. As a parent of a special needs kid, I would never, like, strangers coming to my house going, hi, you know how hard it is to have a special needs kid, but it's really not. It's a gift. I mean, it's like, come on. So like that kind of stuff, stop, just stop. There's a way to be diverse and inclusive without telling everybody and telegraph. The problem is that's the culture in Hollywood right now. And I do have sympathy for the creators. They feel the need to do this probably because they're told to. And listen, these are good writers. They're like, oh God, I got to put this stuff in, but you know, I need a paycheck. I understand, but you got to understand when we point it out, because it's really, really obvious. Not that the single act in itself is bad. Just find a way to make it part of the story. So it doesn't feel like we're stopping to have our little moment of, you know, virtue right now. You know, there's nothing wrong with virtue, but when it takes you out of the story, the whole point here is to entertain. It's not to create conversation or educate. We have schools for that. So yeah. Doesn't that give him Mark, come on, stars? Yes. I don't know if I mentioned that, but they did portray a good dad. So I applaud them for that. See, I will criticize and I will applaud. You're right. Come on, Stars. Thanks for bringing that my attention. Thank you. Well, you know, Meek Howard was a good dad to Mira too. Yannick was a really bad dad, but the other Yannick that he killed was a good dad. So there were good dads in this show. So I have no major complaints about that, but it's a trope that needs to go. And Father's Day, you will see my Hollywood versus dads video that I've been working on for months. It'll probably be done long before Father's Day, but it's for Father's Day. And yeah. Okay. So I got to wrap things up. Really, Randy Kelly, why would SJWs have a problem with Battle Angel? It's based on anime and manga. Like, whatever. Everybody's got a problem with everything now. It's like, fuck, can't we just, let me guess, the critics hate it too. Randy Kelly, thank you for the $5. SJWs are already after Battle Angel for fighting suit being too sexy. That's funny. She's a cyborg. Yeah, I mean, I know very little about Battle Angel. I thought she was a full-on robot. We have sexy robots today. Actually, our most functional robots, other than the ones that build cars, are probably sex robots. All right. I will enjoy the film. Everybody, thanks for coming along with the counterpart journey with me. And I know the writers and creators probably don't agree with everything I say, and that's fine. I just want to say I loved your work. It was really well done. I wish you guys all the best. Thank you for giving us 2 seasons. I wish you luck in the future, and I hope you get at least, you know, your due. You get hooked onto a series that lasts, you know, 20 years, and you are set for life, and you can your grandkids won't have to worry about anything. And I hope you have a lot of fun what you're doing. Yeah, writers, try to have fun. You know, I don't know if it's always fun in Hollywood. Yeah. And hey, if it gets picked up, I'll be there. I will be there. I will be so happy. And Jeff Bezos, I know you got a lot of people asking you for stuff, but maybe if you could, like, just give it a season, just try it, try it. You know, and I will, you know, if Counterpart gets picked up, I'll make the same commitment that I'll make The Expanse. I'll do 3 videos a week, free advertising. All right, everybody. Thank you for the super chats. Randy Kelly, Tamarock, Silhouetted Animator. My voice is going. I was doing a video before this. I've been recording an Orville video. Jack Random, Trinoculus P, Static MM, Jack Random, Tamarocks. I am really, truly sorry that I got you guys into a show that got canceled. Fling all the abuse to Stars you want. I mean, like, you know, like abusing, you know, like, try to keep it clean. The best way to, you know, rib somebody is to, you know, cover it in class. You know what I mean? Try to be funny. Don't use actual cuss words, but yeah, fling Stars some poop. They deserve it. Yeah. And I would think twice about getting the app. I would think twice about trusting anything they put on anymore. And that sucks for the people who actually create shows for that. I am going to cover American Gods. I mean, mainly because I don't want Viking Bitch coming after me, because she will come after me if I don't cover that show. So my legitimate fear of Viking Bitch is the only thing that has me covering that show right now. I'm just kidding. I want to see it too, but that's it. After that, we're done. All right. Hey, it's Gary. Call me PJ. Hi from Oz. All right, PJ. Hi, PJ, and hello from Oz, Australia. I love Australia. I really do. Never been there, but I love it. You guys seem pretty cool down there. So thank you, Gary, for today. Countercart might have been short run, but it was well worth the watch. And I will end on that one. Everybody, sorry I couldn't get to everybody's chat. Join us tonight, 8 p.m. if you're into The Expanse. Doomcock will be joining me, and we will do a couple hours just talking about The Expanse and how much we love it. We'll go over the whole Save the Expanse thing and look forward to season 4. Until then, may the small folk sing songs of your greatness.